discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
It's been quite a year for the Smallbone Boys. The brothers who make up the celebrated CCM duo of For King and Country have made a movie, written a book, and continue touring all over the world. We've had the chance to feature Joel Smallbone on the road twice now, and in his latest appearance, he declared to us it was widely known he is the smarter and the better looking of the brothers. Naturally, as we welcome younger brother Luke for the first time, we give him a chance to respond to his brother's claims.
He's definitely the better looking brother. That's hands down. Nobody needs to debate that. Smarter. I'll let you determine that after we finish the interview. I'm just kidding.
It's been quite a year for you, sir. I mean, you guys launched the movie and the book Priceless last fall. You're touring all over the place. You and your wife welcome the newest member of your family. And then little Leo this fall has a real health scare. So what did you guys face with him, and how is the little man doing?
Yeah, so my little boy Leo, he was about 8 weeks old, and I was at home mowing the lawn, and my wife comes out frantically trying to get my attention. And I pull off my headphones, and I say, well, what's going on? And she says, oh, it's Leo, you know, he's not breathing, obviously frantically. And I jump off the mower, I run inside, I get the phone, I call 911. And my little boy, well, he's outside with my wife, and he's blue, lifeless, you know, limp, just nothing going on. I was absolutely convinced that this little boy was, that he was dead. And my wife just starts praying these just amazing prayers. You know, in the name of Jesus, you bring back my boy. In the name of Jesus, put air into his lungs. And about 30 seconds later, he just takes these little gulps of air. And we see that he's starting to come back. And I'm on the phone to the 911 guy. I said, I think he's coming back. I think he's starting to breathe. And so the ambulance comes, and they whisk him away. And we end up at Vanderbilt University Hospital, and I'm on my way to see him. I'm unsure as to what I was going to see, because, you know, you don't know how long he's been without oxygen. You just don't know how that goes. And I go in there, and I look at my little boy, and he's in the critical care area of the emergency room, and he's in this bed. And I look at him, and I was like, Leo, are you with me, boy? Are you okay? You know, and obviously he can't talk yet, but you can just see, you communicate to these kids, even at a little age, if it's switched on or not. And he just looks up at his daddy and his mom, and he smiles. And at that moment, I realized that our little boy was going to be fine. And so he's fine. He's stable. That we have found apparently an unrelated issue that for most little kids, doctors are always feeling their heads, feel out the soft spots. And part of his head has actually been fused together. And so they say it's an unrelated issue to that episode, but we do have to go and have a surgery. Probably after the Christmas tour, he'll have to have a pretty major surgery to kind of reshape and rebuild his skull. So that's not a small feat. So, but he's doing great. He's healthy, and they don't anticipate there being any issues.
Oh man, that's awesome! Well, we're overjoyed for that news, and we'll continue to pray for little Leo for his surgery as well, sir. This glorious Christmas tour, this 13-city endeavor that you'll be kicking off soon, what's special about this Christmas celebration for you guys, and what's been on your heart as you've been putting this together, Luke?
Well, Christmas tours are super beneficial to us individually as artists, I think. Because, you know, you kind of said some things earlier, you know, this is what you've been working on, this is what you've been doing, and it's easy for us to just kind of blow by life and for us to say, I don't know if this happens in the radio world, but if I can just get through this weekend, you know, if I can just get through this week, or if I can just get through the day, then everything will, you know, be okay. And I'm really convinced that, you know, Jesus doesn't want us to run by these things. He's got these stories. He's had these things happen in our lives, and this work and this purpose that we live with for a reason. And it's not something that we should just try and get through. And so for Christmas for us, it's a moment that we get to sing the greatest songs in the world, you know, and we get to sing about the joy of this baby boy and what that means. that it means that we have the Savior of the world. And so it's good for us to be able to sit back and relax and breathe in and enjoy that.
Mm. You have some pretty special collaborators in this effort. Casting Crowns, a special addition to the lineup you disclosed earlier this month, Miss Rebecca St. James. How excited are you to share the stage with this crew?
Oh, man, it's crazy because it's kind of a full circle thing. My sister, when she was touring a lot, Joel and I, you know, were a lighting director and stage manager. We were touring with her, and Casting Crowns' first ever tour that they went on was actually with my sister. And so then for us to be touring with them and for Rebecca to be out for a few songs as well, is just kind of remarkable to me how that's kind of a full circle moment. So we're thrilled to kind of be the great thing about that tour is there's just so many good people. I mean, Casting Crowns is full of people that are just great people. And so for us to be able to kind of celebrate Christmas together for 13 shows is going to be a real treat for us.
That gentleman whose voice you're hearing is Luke Smallbone. He's one half of the celebrated CCM band For King and Country. They're headed out on their glorious Christmas tour across America this winter. And for your sister, this is really a return to active performing. She's been focusing on family for a matter of years now, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think the last time she did a tour, like a quintessential tour like this, I mean, I would say 7, 8, maybe 9 years ago. I mean, it's been a long, long, long time. So, you know, for her to be able to come out and do these shows and for us to be able to have her out and kind of support her in this way, it's a really cool thing that we're really excited to play a part and her, as you say, come back to performing again. It's going to be a great tour.
One of the most interesting parts of your story is just how family has shaped it from beginning to end. And you alluded to the beginning of you and your brother's career being behind the scenes for your sister, Rebecca. And from what I understand as well, there was not a tremendous desire on your part, you and your brother, to necessarily perform. The performing aspect was not something that you had particularly looked forward to, but that your dad really at least wanted you to consider it. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, especially for me. My brother Joel has been performing since he was about 12. And for me, you know, I didn't really take a whole lot of, I don't want to say interest because I've been around music my whole life, but a whole lot of interest, for lack of a better term, interest in writing and recording music till I was about 19, actually. I was actually finished with high school, and, you know, I've grown up singing my whole life. I mean, that's people often say, so when did you start singing? It's like, I don't even know how to answer that question because it's almost like you either sing or you don't. It's just kind of the way it is, right? And so I've sung my whole life, and so it was about when I was 19 that my brother Joel came to me and said, hey, man, what do you think about writing and recording some songs and just seeing where this whole thing goes. And we've been doing it ever since. There was a lot of bumps along the way, but you know, very pleased to. And music has taken on and maybe continues to take on new meaning for me. I see how it revolutionizes somebody's day. I see how with the greatest hope that of the world that we interject into our songs, how it can not just impact somebody's day, but it can impact their destination. I mean, that's a big deal for us, and it's something that we don't take lightly.
Well, you alluded to bumps on the road there, and I had no idea, even as someone who has really enjoyed your music for a number of years, just zero idea that you battled an extremely serious illness that threatened your life itself almost 4 years ago. Can you share what you were dealing with at that point?
Yeah, so I got diagnosed several years ago with a digestive disorder. And with those types of diseases, you know, you really have to be careful because a lot of it has to do with, it's an autoimmune disease. A lot of it has to do with, are you getting the right amount of rest? And stress is usually something that's probably the thing that honestly started the whole issue in the first place. But I had this mindset of I'm just going to tough it out. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to, you know, I felt like that's what you did I felt like that was what fighting was. And at that point, I got really, 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 really sick. I got down to about 125 pounds. I'm 6'4". And I, you know, my wife came to me one night and said, Luke, you know, you just can't leave me here. You got to fight through this illness. You got to make it through to the other side. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm not that old. And yet my wife is asking me to like fight for my life. Like this doesn't feel normal. And there was one particular night that I think I was at my, just at the end of trying to figure this thing out myself. And I just kind of angrily kind of was like, God, why am I so sick? I don't know why. I feel like I'm doing the things you've asked me to do. I feel like I'm attempting to be in your will, but yet here I am, like super, super sick. Like, what's going on? And I felt God say, you know, these things. Luke, I don't need more effort from you. I don't need your striving. I don't need your talents. I don't need you to do any more shows for me. I don't need you to write any more songs. I just want your heart. I just want you. I don't want everything else. I just want you. And then so It became something that honestly, I don't desire to go back to being sick. But it's changed the way that I look at life. It's changed the way I live much more in the goodness of Jesus than rather than trying to earn the grace and goodness of Jesus.
Wow. That is amazingly said from Mr. Luke Smallbone, one half of the celebrated CCM band for King and Country, headed out on their A Glorious Christmas tour across America this winter. And I also, in reading about that time too, it seemed as though the time that you spent away from your brother performing with for King and Country, as he did a number of shows without you, really confirmed for both of you that being together, making music together, that's what you wanted to do, and that's what you felt your purpose was. Is that fair?
Yeah, man. I music and just what we do for a living is not an easy transaction by any means, and to do it alone feels very, very lonely. And so for Joel, I think he just realized, like, man, I just love having that support. I love looking to my right or to my left and seeing my brother there. And I'm the same way. When I was 13, my dad actually came to me and was like, hey, man, what do you think about, you know, trying to see what it would look like if you were to sing or, you know, do some of this stuff? And I, like, literally laughed. I was like, oh, no way. And then, but in my head, I thought, man, if I was to ever do something like that, I would have to do it with Joel. That's the only person. And I don't know why. That was the instinct that I had. And I think the reason why I had that instinct is because, you know, that's I need the talent that he has. I need those talents. I need to be around those. And so, yeah, man, we don't want to do. I've kind of joked, I'm like, Joel, let's never be that band that ever goes off and does their own thing. There might be a song released here or there, but I don't think Joel and I have any desire to ever do music separately from each other.
Well, A Glorious Christmas, this tour across America. If somebody's thinking about grabbing a ticket and heading to the show, can you paint the picture for them? What can they expect to experience on the night of A Glorious Christmas?
Well, man, I find a Christmas tour to be the most amazing kind of event to go to, because really it's preparing yourself for Christmas. You know, we're a very consumer-oriented world these days, where we just want things, we want stuff or whatever. And I think being able to go and sing some of the greatest songs in the world with thousands of other people, I think it prepares your heart for Christmas, that you actually look at it and you say, oh man, it's really not about stuff. It's not about gifts. It's about the gift that Jesus, you know, that God has given us, and that is in Jesus. And to be able to celebrate that. And that's really at the heart of it. That's what we're attempting to do with the Christmas tour. And we're going to do it with lights. We're going to do it with flash. We're going to do it with songs. We're going to do it. But it's really, really a very, very special night.
For kingandcountry.com, the place to go to learn more about this Grammy award-winning band, these remarkable brothers, and the A Glorious Christmas tour across America this winter. Sir, what a pleasure to get to know you a little bit more. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, no worries, man. I appreciate you, Ryan. Have a great day, man.
In some ways, it has to be said that the rollicking rock sounds of a band like For King and Country might not be possible if not for bands that paved their way. The Pacific Northwestern hitmakers, Cutlass, were one of these musical forces leading the charge in combining worshipful lyrics and energetic sounds. Their latest album is just out, called Alpha Omega, and lead singer John Micah Sumrall takes us inside how much fun it is to be able to play some new tunes.
Yeah, we're excited to have new music out. You know, I think every time we do a record, you know, people ask us, "Oh, what's your favorite song right now?" It's always like the new one. You know, cause it's you get familiar with your stuff, and it's fun to have new material and new music to play and perform and share with people. So yeah, we're excited about it.
So you're saying that you do actually, after a period of time, get a little bit tired of your own songs.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know, like there's certain songs that we've been playing for years. You play it virtually every show.
Of course.
It's all like Strong Tower. You learn to love them over and over again because of what they mean to people. Not
sure.
Necessarily because it's not like I haven't heard it again, but I do love seeing people light up and sing along. And so
yeah.
It's just kind of a different focus a little bit. But when you have something new and fresh, it's kind of exciting for us, you know, because we get to share new stuff. So it's always refreshing to have some new material out there for sure.
Oh, that makes sense. You know, the new album, Alpha Omega, I imagine it seems like it would be one of the craziest times for a band when the album drops. But at the same time, is there also a sense of sort of just really a joyful, almost... not relaxation, I'm sure that's completely the wrong word, but a sense of completion, because this has been a long road to get to this point where the album drops.
Yeah, you know, you go through kind of that season of your writing songs and figuring out what the album's going to be, and then you go from that into kind of a season of what we call pre-production, where you're really crafting the songs, of figuring out, you know, the format and kind of the overall vibe and how these songs are going to end up. And then you go into a tracking season where you're actually laying down the instruments and doing the actual singing and all that kind of stuff. And then after that, it goes to editing, and then it goes to mixing, and then to mastering, and then to packaging, you know. So every single step of the way, yeah, you know, it's like building a house or like anything else. You've got,
you lay
the foundation, you build the walls, you put the drywall on. And it kind of takes shape over the course of the entire project, and over time it begins to kind of fill out, you know. And so yeah, once the project's done, you get to kind of take a step back and go, wow, all right, here it is, it's finished, this is awesome. Now we get to go show people. So yeah, there's a sense of completion that's always nice once it's wrapped up and out there.
You know, you actually sounded fairly authoritative about house building there too. Have you actually built legitimate houses before?
No, I am unfortunately not as handy as I would like to be.
Okay.
Every time I try and do a home like construction project, usually I mess it up twice, and then we end up having to hire somebody to fix my mess. And my wife gives me a hard time about it all the time. I'm like, this is simple. It's just, you know, nails and wood. Like, this should be no problem. But yeah, so I'm not very experienced in the art of building construction. I have friends that are awesome at it though, so I lean on those guys.
Those are great friends to have. Yeah, it's something of a famous last words situation right there. It's just nails and wood.
Yeah, no big deal. I'll knock this out in no time. 6 hours later, still not far from where I started.
Oh, we all hear that. You've expressed that this record, it really represents well what the band has been since you started making music together, that it's a sort of a melding of rock sounds and worshipful lyrics. Can you share a little bit about the heart of this record and where it came from for you guys?
You know, to start with, just the album title, Alpha Omega, being another name for God. In Revelation, it talks about God being the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and end. And so we love that kind of that imagery, that picture, because it just kind of encompasses just a bit of the infinity of God and how big and powerful and timeless and all of those things, beginning and end. And so we just kind of laid that groundwork, I believe, right away with the album title. And that's really our goal as we kind of work through these songs is, you know, some of these songs are familiar songs that people will recognize right away, songs they've been singing on Sunday mornings. A few of them are new songs that, you know, hopefully people enjoy and like and can sing along with. But most of these songs really kind of focus on what I would call exaltation, of really looking at God and who he is and praising him. You know, we see throughout like the Psalms, for example, that there's these seasons, as the psalmist will talk about, what I would call kind of contemplation, where they say, hey, you know, why am I downcast? Why am I dealing with these difficult situations, you know, and you kind of are inwardly looking. But then almost always you see the psalmist turn the corner and they move into exaltation and say, but God, you are amazing. You are powerful. You are glorious. And it seems that once that turn is made, we move to exaltation, that's really where kind of the healing begins, the encouragement begins. We see constantly David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I think that comes from really focusing on God and who he is, not necessarily focusing on our problems. So our hope is that these songs will encourage people. It'll help them look to Christ, you know, help them just focus on how big he is, how wonderful he is, and encourage them in their daily lives.
That is that familiar voice of Mr. John Micah Sumrall. He's the lead singer and guitarist of Cutlass. They have sold over 3 million records worldwide and have just released their latest, Alpha Omega. You talk about threading the needle of the rock sound and of worship, and you mentioned and really set it up that a lot of people would hear those two words and think they don't go together, but what is the heart for you of threading that needle? And I imagine it has to be pretty gratifying and quite a blessing to hear that style continue to really take its place.
Yeah, well, for us, you know, we're a rock and roll band. We always have been, and that's what we've done since day one, and it's our favorite style of music. But at the same time, we also met and first started playing music together in college as a worship band. We were doing worship music together at our college there. And with each generation and with each time period, you begin to attach, I would say, this word, so to speak, with really kind of a genre of music. And I think it's important to be reminded that worship is not a genre of music. Worship is an act that we use music, and we use different things in our lives to bring glory and honor to God. And so whether it's with an organ or whether it's with an electric guitar is kind of besides the point. The point is that we're exalting God and focusing on him.
The last several years, you've had a focus on doing events that are free of charge and both are an outreach to millennials as well. I wonder, what is it about that kind of event that really draws you? What about the mission of Cutlass makes you guys want to do that?
One of the things we were challenged by is we felt like a lot of our concerts and things that we were doing were predominantly attended by Christian people, church-going people that are very engaged, I guess, in the Christian culture here in America, you know. And we would get these opportunities sometimes to play like a state fair or, you know, something like that. We'd be in these environments where there was non-believers who would be pulled in and hear the music and hear the message. And that ministry is just so powerful. And for us, as we look, you know, into the future moving forward, not that it's not important to do music for the church, because that is important as well. But we felt like we really needed to start focusing our efforts more and more on reaching people that aren't believers, that maybe wouldn't step foot in church. And that free model, so to speak, of doing evangelistic outreach concerts and events allows really people just to come in from anywhere, you know, so that kid that's on the football team can invite all his friends to come with him. And, you know, you just kind of get a big group of people that come in that maybe would never set foot in the church. And so we began to just kind of identify different things that we felt were barriers to reaching young people. We've changed some of the methodology. It's been really cool to see the way that God has been using that in young people's lives as we've been doing these events. Last year, we had the opportunity to spend a month over in Eastern Europe doing events all throughout countries like Ukraine, we went to Czech Republic, Austria, and it was incredible. We shared the gospel with over 100,000 people. We saw more than 40,000 people make commitments for Christ. It was just amazing. And so for us to see kind of those eternal decisions being made, to see people saying yes to the gospel. I mean, we've been doing this for 15 years professionally. And at this point in our career, we go, man, why are we still going? What are we still doing out there? Are we making a difference? And so when we come back from a trip like that, we go, wow, we got to be a part of something that was massive, you know, as far as eternity is concerned. And so those are the things that keep us going, and we're really excited about what God's doing through that. We started a nonprofit evangelistic ministry called EOTA Ministries, stands for End of the Age Ministries, coming from the Great Commission there in Matthew, where Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." And so that's kind of where we're headed. We want to do more of that, and we're looking to hopefully head back over to Eastern Europe again, kind of doing these events in a lot of these former Soviet countries where the gospel has been suppressed for many, many years.
Wow.
Because it's just ripe for people to hear the gospel and respond. We're doing events here in the U.S. as well. It's been just really, really cool to see what God's been doing so far. So, yeah, we're passionate about that and hoping to continue to grow that and do more of that.
Just tremendous, tremendous stuff. The big heart of Cutlass, Mr. John Micah Sumrall, the lead singer of the band, has been with us here. The latest record, once again, called Alpha Omega. What a treat to talk with you today, sir. Get to know a little bit more what's inside your heart. Thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.